Some of you here may remember the late Father Bill LaFrata, our pastor emeritus and friend, who always used to begin his homily on Good Friday saying that this evening is a night of shadows. And come to think of it, how apropos that really is. Because once again, we have just relived the drama of Jesus' passion and death in the proclamation of John's Passion. And in this Passion account, Jesus tells us it is finished. And it is. Jesus' hour has come. And can you imagine what those standing there on that hill must have been thinking when they heard those words? Imagine what the soldiers who crucified Jesus must have thought. Well, he's gone now. Let's take care of this unpleasant business and get out of here. There were also those who had come out from Jerusalem, the curious, the observers. They had seen the commotion and had followed along. But imagine how those followers of Jesus who had actually dared to come this far must have felt when they heard those words, when they saw Jesus bow his head and literally felt the life flow out of him. Is this it? Is this all there is? Because we expected something more. Did we not understand? Now Jesus is dead. It is finished. So I guess we might as well go. Brothers and sisters, if we listen more carefully, Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus didn't say, "I am finished." Jesus didn't even say, "My life is finished." He said, "It is finished." So there's a question for us. What is it? What do those words say as we hear them with our 21st century ears? Well, those listening that day, whether they were Jew or Gentile, would probably have understood them in three different ways that aren't readily apparent to us. To begin with, "it is finished" in the original Greek is just one word, tetelestai, which means it is accomplished, it is completed. It is fulfilled. My friends, throughout the Gospels, Jesus talks of the work that the Father has sent him to do. And earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." That will, that work of Jesus, was to open the door into a new way of living, a new way of relating to God as well as to each other. In other words, the new way, the new covenant of love, had now begun. Brothers and sisters, I do think there were probably those times when Jesus just wanted to give up, especially considering those that he often had to work with. Story after story in the Gospel tells us how difficult a time he had with the disciples, trying to get them on the same page as he was. But Jesus didn't give up. Jesus did what he had been sent to do, and that was to heal, to teach, to forgive, to reach out, and to love. And whom did Jesus love? Jesus loved the sinner, the outcast, the blind, the lame, the sick, the dying, the lost, the forgotten. And tonight on this Good Friday, we gather at the cross and we wonder how this day will change us. How this story that we've heard again and again will renew us. Because once again, we not only watch and listen, we need to respond to what our God has done for us. We will look at the image of Jesus who loved us and who would do anything for us. And in a special way today, Jesus teaches us through his own broken body. As a church, as a community of faith, we are the body of Christ, but a broken body. We minister as broken people to broken people. The suffering, the alienated, the unaccepted, the rejected, the troubled, the confused are all part of this broken body of Christ. And Jesus' death on the cross was not an end. It was the way in which Jesus' life was poured out for others with love and nonviolence. Jesus' death made it possible for those who were lost and despairing to be filled with life. And each time we sign ourselves with the sign of the cross, we embrace the mystery, which enables us to pass from death to new life. And to live this mystery to the fullest, we must humble ourselves to become the servant of all, as Jesus did. And to live this mystery well means that we humbly die to self for the sake of others. It means we actually look for ways to embrace this dying, trusting always in the promise and hope of the resurrection. For as you well know, the cross of Jesus was really a crossroads, a place where evil didn't get the last word, a place where evil was transformed into good, where death and life met in mortal combat, but where life won the day. I think this prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola captures well what is happening as we celebrate this solemn liturgy. St. Ignatius says, "Jesus, may all that is you flow into me. May your body and blood be my food and drink. May your passion and death be my strength and my life. With you by my side, enough has been given. May the shelter I seek be the shadow of your cross. Lord, let me not run from the love which you offer, but hold me safe from the forces of evil. And on each of my dyings, shed your light and your love. Keep calling me, Lord, until the day that with your saints I may praise you forever and ever." Brothers and sisters, today, this evening, as we venerate the cross, let us see in it the truth, the full revelation of God. No other truth, no other revelation has been granted to us. And that God is, as Father Thomas Merton so poetically put it over 50 years ago, very simply, mercy within mercy. As human beings, there are many times when we feel like giving up. Yet we know that the work that God has asked of us is still unfinished. Hearing those words of Jesus in the Gospel of the Passion today should give us the courage to pray for God's guidance as we try to complete the tasks that God has called us to. And may we have the strength to see those tasks through to completion, through to the finish, just as Jesus did. And may we all be able one day to say with Jesus, "It is finished." Amen.
Amen. Amen.